From the city where pro wrestling gets elevated, Denver, Colorado's very own Mr. Fourth Row.
All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me on this episode, I've got the guy that his smile lights up any room, KT Dub. KT, how are you doing?
Good. I'm at home recovering, staying safe, making sure I'm not getting sick out here.
I got you. So first question out of the chute. How did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
You know, honestly, I don't remember a time where I didn't want to be a professional wrestler. I kind of grew up in a situation where my mom was emancipated and was homeless for quite a long time. She actually ended up making friends with quite a few people in the independent wrestling scene here in Colorado. So a lot of the guys that were making names for themselves before I was even around, I probably know them in some way, shape, or form, or they know somebody that I know in some way, shape, or form. So I feel like I've been in professional wrestling, like, and wrestling in general, just all my life. I was first introduced to it when I was a kid. My mom would throw wrestling parties. She would have all of our friends come over and their kids come over, and we would all just pile in the living room with popcorn or whatever she would make, and we would just watch wrestling. You know, it would be Bret Hart, it would be Taker, it would be, you know, even cool when we got to see Hogan. It was even better when we got to watch, you know, The Rock come out. We were huge fans of Stone Cold and The Rock and, you know, the Mankind and Triple H's of the time. So, you know, just really having that love early on, you know, it just kind of manifested itself. And I got a shot when I was 16 years old to work with some of these guys. And really make my introduction into wrestling. You know, I got chopped my first night there by a massive dude. You know, I'm still in high school, and I remember just having that introduction and just taking my first chop and being like, okay, yeah, I can do this.
what precipitated getting that first chop? Was it just kind of getting in and into the ring and kind of, you know, standing up? What was going on that?
You know, a lot of people in, you know, I feel like it's not, I wouldn't say hazing or anything like that, but a lot of people just want to know what you're made of, you know. A lot of times in sports, people want to test you, you know, they want to see, like, what, do you have heart? Are you a quitter? What kind of person are you? Like, who are you trying to get into this world with us kind of thing, you know? And I feel like, that's really all there was, you know, they just wanted to see, you know, am I going to stick around? You know, is this something that I really, want to do? Is this something I really enjoy? So they put me in the ring there, and they said, you know, this is how you wrestle, man. And this is how a lot of the guys are going to try to hit you in the ring. And they were just trying to welcome me, and they said, you know, can you take a chop? And I was like, I'll take a chop from anybody. And yeah, the big guy stepped up and left a pretty good mark.
That's awesome. Cool. I want to take just a step back for a moment. So you got to your wrestling parties. That sounded like the Raw's War Attitude area, you know, and all that stuff like that. Is that correct?
Exactly. This was about the time when, gosh, I want to say The Undertaker was making a huge name for himself. My mom was the biggest Undertaker fan I've ever met in my entire life. And I've been a wrestling fan my entire life.
Yeah.
It's almost 30 years here. I've never met anybody who was a bigger fan than her. And I remember around this time, this was when The Undertaker was really making his name for himself as the Prince of Darkness. You know, he was kind of getting away from the whole Paul Bearer thing.
Right.
And, you know, he was feuding with the McMahons and, you know, just, you know, he had the thing with Kane where, you know, you're fighting your brother, you know, in the Inferno matches and the Buried Alive matches. And I just remember being so enamored with those. Like, man, you know, you got to be a really tough guy to step in the ring with somebody like that, you know? And yeah. I always felt like if I could, I would. I would love to prove myself in that arena, in that field.
Yeah. And the Stephanie on the cross and all that stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you remember. Yeah, that was one of the, yeah. And I remember specifically, my mom was screaming. She was like, oh, my God, he might have went too far. But you know, it all worked out in the end.
Right. Well, what about you? Who's your favorites or favorites?
Honestly, man, you know, I'm simple, man. I've always been a Bret Hart fan. You know, back when I started first watching it, he was really like the big baby face of, you know, any company, really. So, you know, I was really into Bret Hart, but then a young man who stepped out of the shadows of his father, The Rock, Mr. Johnson over there, he really stole the show for me. You know, his feuds with Triple H and Stone Cold and Mick Foley, I really just felt like just watching his character develop was just an amazing experience to watch, you know, from him being Rocky Maivia with all the colors and, you know, oh, he's a second generation wrestler and this is going to be a guy to watch, to him, you know, creating the Nation of Domination and being a part of the corporation and, you know, just coming into his own as the Brahma Bull and donning the, you know, if you smell what the Rock is cooking and, you know, the eyebrow raising, the jabroni, you know, the jabroni and, you know, telling people that, like, I'm going to check you into the SmackDown hotel. I always thought that was some of the coolest wordplay I'd ever heard in my entire life. Just the way he would set up his punchline. It was almost like watching a mix between a comedian at work on stage and a rap battle, you know, where a rapper would try to really demean his opponent, but it would be in a clever way.
Right. Yeah. I see that. I agree with that. That's fantastic. So, so from there, you mentioned, the standing up and getting your first chop, but what, kind of really got you going thinking that I want to do this, I want to step in the ring myself and wrestle.
You know, I've always wanted to do that. You know, I honestly feel like when I got to middle school, because my mom wouldn't let me wrestle as a kid, you know, I don't think we could afford the clubs and stuff at the time and just the area we lived in, you know, the big sport around was basketball or football. You know, there wasn't really a lot of opportunities for wrestling. I feel like wrestling as a sport has grown tremendously in the past 15 to 20 years, especially in popularity. But back then, you know, there just really wasn't a lot of opportunities for young kids to get out there and wrestle. So I had to wait until I was in middle school to even get my first taste of, you know, am I athletic enough to do this? Do I feel confident enough to step in to I would call it a combat arena, you know, like, you know, wrestling is technically a combat skill. So I really only got my opportunity to get into wrestling when I stepped into middle school. And I went undefeated my first 2 years in middle school. I ended up going to city and, I took second in city and then, I lost it my first time there. I ended up taking second in city when I was sick with the flu. Ooh. And, I really just thought, you know, hey man, this is something I've always wanted to do. And I bet that they're looking at my record. So I used to like psych myself up for these matches. Like, man, if I don't win this match, WWE is not going to look at me. You know, and I used to think like professional wrestling was built on like how good you do in every single match, no matter how little, no matter what tournament. I always put that pressure on my back, like, you know, WWE's looking, you know, WWE's looking. And I just really wanted to win.
Yeah.
So I think that was really my first introduction into being competitive enough to even try.
Right. Well, you mentioned about the records. Well, now AEW is turning a script, and that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm really enjoying this new breed of AEW. I really feel like it's about time that there was that revolution of wrestling that we were waiting for, you know, where wrestlers are actually happy in their positions, and, you know, they're not working themselves to death, and that there is a reason for the loss and win.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, okay, let's sidetrack rat hole a little for a second, because I just brought it up. You know, AEW, what's your kind of opinion on AEW, saying new breed? This is my opinion. I want to see if you agree or disagree or have other thoughts. But AEW, at the beginning, it seemed like once they were launching Dynamite, seemed like it took a little while for them to get steam, and then they finally got their storylines under them, got things in sync. And then it seemed like with the current state of affairs, it seemed like it kind of happened again. They had to figure out how they wanted to kind of do things. But then I'd say probably over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they finally have figured out how to do this, you know, taping and getting the storylines and, you know, just the fans, quote unquote fans, that are in attendance. But they seem like they finally figured that out, and their Dynamite has been good again. I mean, what's your thoughts on all that?
You know, I can really appreciate the fact that somebody wants to compete with a company like WWE. I think a lot of people shy away from that, you know, especially after they saw the Monday Night Wars and the way that went, you know, just a complete domination of that for the most part. I really like the way that Dynamite is going about the storylines. I feel like the storylines is what is drawing people in. You know, it's not the same old crap that you see all the time. It's not the same old, you know, where you can basically predict what the outcome might be if you're an avid wrestling fan.
Yeah.
I really like that the characters that they're coming out with are also original, but they're also something that they're different. You know, they're more expanded. I feel like, you know, where you have, I don't know, say, take a Roman Reigns character, for example. You know, he's so one-dimensional. You know, he is, you know, the powerhouse, the new breed, the guy that, you know, I stand alone, 1 versus 100, let's go. And then you've got guys like, you know, somebody who, you know, like a Chris Jericho, who time after time after time after time can change himself into a newer and more entertaining version of himself to keep drawing crowds, to keep drawing people's attention into what he's doing. And I feel like that man has one of the best abilities to adapt that I've ever seen any professional wrestler in the company do.
Agreed.
And I really think that that helps AEW and Dynamite, you know, like I said, with the storylines and drawing people in and really pushing forward that narrative that they are different and they will be different in the future, and they will continue pushing boundaries and doing things a little bit different than you would normally traditionally see.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, speaking of Jericho, I mean, how many freaking heels out there have their theme song, their entrance song, sung back to them by the crowd? I mean, that's just crazy, you know?
Yeah, no, Jericho is so unique in not only his longevity, but his charisma. You know, the man is the lead singer of Fozzy, and I feel like, you know, people connect with him on so many levels that it's really hard to hate the guy, but sometimes he makes it really, really easy, and I think that's the fun of Jericho.
Right. He is a puppet master.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the fact that the crowd interacts with him when he comes out is just a testament to that. You know, a lot of wrestlers, yeah, they get a reaction, but Jericho really gets an in-depth reaction. If you really look at it, Jericho really draws the crowd in. He's one of those enigmas. You know, I would even, he's a staple in professional wrestling, period.
Right. Yeah. All right. So let's shift back to talking about you. So getting into the professional wrestling ring, how'd that come about?
Actually, I was in college. A lot of people don't know this about me because, you know, I am kind of a private person. I don't really put myself out there like I should. I'm very social when I'm out and about, but, like, you know, behind the scenes, I'm actually pretty to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was in college, and a friend of mine that I'm in a fraternity, Kappa Sigma. It's one of the oldest and largest fraternities in the entire world. I had a fraternity brother come up to me one day, and he basically kept inviting me to come out to a facility and wrestle. Now, I didn't take him seriously when he said that, you know, because this is my dream, you know, this is something I've always wanted to do. And, like, you know, people always say, you know, hey, I want to do this, and they don't really follow through with a lot of that. And that was kind of a common theme at the time with the people around me. So with him saying, you know, hey, I found this place, and, you know, they're saying that they train wrestlers, and I'm having a great time, and, you know, he just kept pushing it on me. And, you know, I really didn't take him too seriously. I really just kind of pushed him away for probably 2 or 3 years. It wasn't until I was a personal trainer, 24-hour fitness, that he invited me again. And he said, you know, hey, man, look, I really enjoy this, and I really think that you should come try this out. How about you just come to a match? So what I did instead is I just came down there to the training facility down there. I think this was in Inglewood at the time. And, I ended up going in there, and it was basically the same guys that had brought me in when I first started when I was 16 years old. It was some of the same guys that I remembered. And so it was kind of like a cool little reunion to catch up with those guys. And, it was interesting that that I pushed it off for so long. You know, I know looking back, you know, I don't know if it was because I was scared to jump in or if it was because I didn't trust what he was saying. You know, I didn't want to do it the wrong way. You know, I've always thought of myself as trying to do it the right way. You know, I've always wanted to get into it, but man, how do you do it the right way? You know, and there's a lot of advertising for, you know, schools or people who will teach you to professionally wrestle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotcha. And so was this the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy, or was it another one?
No. Yeah, this was a different one. When I first found these guys, it was going by the name of the Butcher Shop.
Okay.
So I always called it the Butcher Shop, you know, so I was chatting with the guys at the original Butcher Shop. I was there for probably a year or so, maybe longer than that. Just trying to hang out and catch on to what they were doing. You know, my first wrestling match ever, I watched a guy called Diamond, and he was wrestling this big dude. I mean, the guy was, he had the hairiest back I'd ever seen in my life. And the crowd was making fun of him for it. And, so when he came out, you know, I started giving him crap about it too. And he like gave me this death stare, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. You know, and I really feel like, you know, that just perpetuated the fact that, you know, these were the people that I really wanted to train with and to really put me in a position to succeed in something that I really wanted to do.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, yeah, cool. Awesome. So what was your first match?
Oh, my first match. Wow. That's a tough one. I mean, would you consider a battle royal a first match? Or
Some people do and some people don't, because it seems like a lot of times people will have a first match on the same card and then they also do a battle royal the same night. So it's subjective. It's all up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my first real match was against a really big dude by the name of Filter. I ended up wrestling Filter just in kind of like, I guess you could say it was a squash match. You know, I came out there to the arena and I tried to, you know, one up on him, and he ends up just giving me a power bomb and a choke slam, and that seals the deal. And I really thought that was, I thought it was going to go worse than it did. You know, I really didn't know what I was doing out there. I was super green, and I just went out there thinking, you know, just do your best, and hopefully these guys will like you.
Yeah, right. I gotcha. What about the Battle Royal?
The Battle Royal was actually the Colorado Cup. I actually got my first opportunity in a Colorado Cup. I was, I think I was like one of the mid entrants into the Colorado Cup, and you know, I ended up scoring, you know, a couple of over the top rope. You know, I got a couple people over, but I really didn't go too far. I ended up getting tossed out by another big guy, and but it was really interesting, you know, being in the middle of the ring for the first time and having that many people in there and just trying to navigate.
Yeah.
Being a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know how you always dream about it. You know, you always picture it in your mind how it'll go. But when you're actually there in the moment, you know, you really try to absorb it and learn from it.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Okay. Well, so you know, a lot of people probably know you more, like I said, from Rocky Mountain Pro scene, yeah, and Charged and Ignition and such. What have been some of the favorite moments that you've had so far in the ring?
You know, I really enjoyed the feud that I had with Trice Field and Kip Rascal. In all honesty, I think those were some of the funner rivalries that I've had. I think my time with CJ Trice Field really showcased the fact that I can also be a technical wrestler, but also I'm not afraid to come off the ropes. Mm-hmm. And I think the match with Kip Rascal showcased the fact that I'm not afraid to think outside the box, and not every match is standard and traditional.
Right. Yeah, that's very, very true. I, being there in attendance, I would definitely concur and agree with that.
You know how Kip Rascal is, you know, the guy's, he's a Wile E. Coyote type, you know.
Yeah, true, true. Very true. So who have been, those been some of your favorite opponents to get in the ring with?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any others?
I really like working with guys like Bruce Wayans or Atiba. Just being able to work with a big guy who's got the power enough to, you know, not only be safe, but to show that, you know, he is a dominating force. You know, I really think that he's able to bring the crowd into the match. You know, a lot of people talk about being a bad guy and, you know, they do different things, but I really feel like he puts effort into bringing the crowd into the match. You know, it's not just you're going out there to put on a show and win the match. You know, he goes out there to, you know, maybe upset a few fans, or maybe somebody's going to cry. You know, somebody's kid's going to end up crying at the end of the night.
That's funny, you know, you say that.
A guy like Atiba, you know, I really feel like Atiba, he's one of the fastest guys I've ever wrestled in my life. You know, he's so athletic, and he's also not afraid to push the boundaries either, you know, and I really respect that about Atiba.
Right, yeah, you two in the ring, similar styles, so it's fantastic to see on this side of the ropes, you know, going all out, high-flying, crazy moves, etc., you know?
Yeah, I really think I'd love to get a second match with him, because I think he ended up beating me in that last one. Mm-hmm. But I really think that, we've got chemistry to where we can really put on a competitive match. And I really think it resonates with people to see two guys going at it who are competitive in that way, and they just want to win. You know, no dirty tricks, nothing out of bounds, just two guys doing their best to pick up the victory.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So what about the future? What do the future hold for KT Dub? Just getting back in the ring, branching out to other promotions. What's your plans?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year I plan on, you know, coming back and definitely branching out to other promotions. I'd really love to get out there to DCW. Mm-hmm. Out there in Utah and see what they're about. Also, in Arizona, there's a couple of promotions that I was talking to. I'd love to come out there and see if, you know, just to introduce myself to a lot of these guys and maybe make a name for myself if I could. I think this year I'm also going to be rolling around with the awesome one, Joe Barton. I think we're going to get to try to go a little further east. We're going to try to form a tag team by the name of the Purple Promise. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. I think it'll be a lot of fun for me to try to branch out into a tag team style instead of always being a singles competitor. And I really think, I feel like my return date could be by the end of this year. As you all know, I injured my knee doing a backflip, and it just didn't go well throughout the entire thing. So I'm currently just rehabbing it, staying in physical therapy as much as possible. So I'm just waiting for the medical clearance, just working hard. Mm-hmm. I know we don't have the gyms right now, so, you know, I'm having to compensate a little bit, you know, doing alternative things or just going to the doctor's office itself, you know, just trying to make sure that I can come back on time and that I don't give up. You know, it's really easy to, you know, sit back here and, you know, feel sorry for myself, you know, and, you know, try to give up and all that. But I really, I love this sport, and I cannot wait to get back into the ring and compete with guys like the Batman, you know, Bruce Wayans and Atiba.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and since you mentioned, you know, from my understanding, lower body injuries, legs and such like that, those tend to also be a little bit longer to recover and come back from. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, I basically completely blew out my knee. I wasn't aware, but, you know, when you get opportunities, you know, to be on TV and to really prove yourself and to showcase that, you know, this is where you belong. Like I said, I've never wanted to do anything more in my life. And I really feel like my passion shows with anybody who talks to me about professional wrestling. Like, I've never wanted to do anything more. And I really want to put my best effort and my best foot forward in doing this.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then when you are back and you're back in that ring and talking about the future, and this is going to be the far-fetched question of the episode, but I always ask this, what about, do you have some dream matches of people you'd like to get into the ring with? And these can be anywhere, anyhow, anytime.
I would love a match with a guy who has my utmost respect. And it's because he's got drive, he's got a great character, and he's always willing to adapt. And I really like the fact that he can tell a great story no matter who he's wrestling. And I think had I approached professional wrestling differently in the beginning when I first met him, we'd have a different relationship now. But I would really like a match with a guy like Anaya.
Oh.
I formed a relationship with his brother, Hoodie, and I really enjoyed picking Hoodie's brain.
Oh, God, and I
feel like since they're brothers, you know, Anaya probably has just as much knowledge and information that I could absorb if I, you know, wasn't such a knucklehead at times. And I just really feel like a match with him would be really fun. It would be hard-hitting. It would be tough. It would be extremely testing. But I'd really enjoy an opportunity at that. Another guy that I would really like a rematch with, Jumbo. Jumbo. The guy put me out, man, the last match I had, you know. He's making a name for himself right now. You know, a lot of people don't like him, so maybe I can get in the ring and shut him up for a lot of these people that waiting for him to get his butt kicked, you know. Our last match didn't go the way that I wanted it to, and I ended up losing that match. So I'd really like to come back and get that vengeance.
Yeah, and turn the mirror on him.
Exactly. Exactly. Look at your loss. Look at it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Well, KT Tubb, I think that might be a fantastic place to wrap this episode up. But before I do let you go, people wanted to follow you out there on the social media. Where could they do that?
You can follow me at GetEmKTDub on Facebook or at Cash the Wrestler on Instagram. I am on both quite frequently. I haven't really been posting too much lately, just with COVID and everything going on, you know, not a lot to post as far as content. But I am on there pretty frequently if anybody wants to come check me out. And I'm always talking about professional wrestling. So if you just want to send me a DM, I talk to a lot of my fans on a regular basis.
All right, fantastic. Well, once again, I want to thank you for coming on. And when we get everything off of pause and get you back in the ring, I'll be there in the one of the rows, the fourth row or another row, and incognito, and be there watching you.
Oh yeah, I got a new shirt for you too, Artie. It's a new logo that I got, but I definitely pass up it for you.
Oh, you know I'm all about the merch.
Oh, yeah, man. I've got a new one for you. I appreciate you rocking it.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, I'll be ready to sport that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fourth Row.
Once again, a big thank you to KT Dub for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners. Check him out mostly in Rocky Mountain Pro once he gets back in that ring and branching out to other promotions and territories. All right, so let's talk a little bit news. The Week in Review, of course, is on pause for now since we don't have any local live wrestling events to talk about. So let's talk about the kind of the most important thing you guys can do if you're able to. No pressure. Support your local wrestler talents. We mentioned had a little mention there about merchandise. So let's talk about that real quick. If you guys want to support your wrestlers, hit them up on the social medias. Find out if they have some old shirts or if they have a brand new shirts, say like at Pro Wrestling Tees. Things of that nature. See if they've got, you know, whatever. You know, if you can support them, hit them up. Let them clear out those coffers, and then maybe when we get back to live wrestling and we are there in person, they'll have some fresh new merchandise to sell us as well as to sell everybody. All right. So if you guys like this show, you can catch other great shows. We are supported by the brand new Trending Topics Network, and you can catch other great shows such as What's on Fight, where myself and my co-host Finn Fish talk about all the great shows you can find on Fight TV, the Fight TV app, Fight TV website, and so on. Other shows such on the Trending Topics Network can be All Beer Inside, Wrestling Cheers, Old School at the Movies, and the Eurovision Showcase. Want to get in contact with the show? WrestlingWithAltitude.com is the email or the website. Email is podcast at WrestlingWithAltitude.com. Twitter is WrestleAltitude for the handle. And of course, the Facebook page of Wrestling with Altitude. And as always, I do appreciate you all for listening and having fun wrestling with Altitude. We'll